we have this idea that masculine is all men, and it means powerful and strong and angry and controlling. Like, there's a lot of negative, right? And we think that feminine means demure and pretty and peacekeeping, and she does yoga, you know. But this isn't masculine and feminine. These are just gender stereotypes.
Welcome to Unleash Thyself, a podcast where we journey into the depths of personal transformation, spirituality, and growth. I am your host, Constantine Morun, and today we have Katrina Boss with us. She's an author, a teacher, and expert on how we can live better by understanding the different energies inside of us. Katrina's been everywhere talking about this, from the BBC to Forbes, and she's here to share her wisdom with us. Years ago, Katrina faced a tough health scare that made her look at life very differently. She discovered Tantra, which helped her see relationships and personal growth in a new light. Tantra is about connecting deeply with ourselves and others, and Katrina has been teaching this for over a decade. Now, Katrina believes we can all live happier by balancing the masculine and the feminine energies inside of us. It's not about being male or female, it's about finding harmony in ourselves. She says this balance can help us in love, work, and everything that we do. Now, today we'll chat about how Katrina started her journey, what she's learned about living with joy and purpose, and how we can all start to make changes in our lives. Katrina has some great stories and tips to share, especially from her latest book about bringing together these energies for a better life. Let's dive in and learn from Katrina Boss about finding balance, joy, and deeper connections in our lives. But before we start, I have a small favor to ask. Please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and share your thoughts in the comments. Your engagement helps us continue to bring these transformative stories to light. So now, let's begin. Welcome, beautiful souls. I'm here with Katrina Boss. Katrina, it's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. I can't wait to have this conversation. I know we're going to go deep on certain topics that are actually very, very important in today's day and age. And if anyone is like me, I'm not very familiar or familiar enough with masculine energy and feminine energy. I know I'm a man, so technically I should have more masculine energy, but I also know I have feminine energy within me. So let's start right there. Mm-hmm. Tell me a bit more about how you see masculine and feminine energies and why are they so important in today's day and age?
I think my journey into the masculine and feminine began when I started studying Tantra. Because Tantra, I mean, it's a huge topic which can span from relationships and intimacy, but really it's about connection. It begins with connection with ourselves and the divine or nature or each other and all that, but because we're so disconnected inside. Like, bottom line, even our masculine feminine within us is disconnected, and it's sort of in a perpetual battle. And Tantra in the beginning for me was this realization that we could actually be completely happy all the time. Like, we actually could have our two sides dancing together and not fighting. And in the same way, even in relationship, that the masculine and feminine, which doesn't necessarily mean gender, in mostly heterosexual relationships it does, but it just means that how do we actually interact in a way that creates beautiful magnetism, that actually supports and uplifts each other, and actually creates something beyond this physical plane? Like, that's really what Tantra says, that if we live our authentic selves, you know, you see these pictures of gurus and there's these energy, you know, pictures all around them. And we look at them, we say, we want to experience that, right? But that means that what's happening is in this physical world, we're actually bringing the duality together. So I jumped ahead. Imagine a world where we have the oneness of God, divinity, consciousness, whatever you call that. And then we have duality that we live within. And duality basically means we interact with each other. Well, let's call this side masculine and this side feminine. Doesn't even matter about gender. They're just two parts. And when those two pieces come together and interact with each other, if they dance, if there's a beautiful union, if there's a beautiful magnetism, this is where they come together and we get to experience bliss. Right? That's the foundation of it all. The problem is, in the world we've lived within, we've lived in separation, right? We've lived in domination, where the one side, which we're going to call masculine in all aspects of our lives, dominates the other. Doesn't matter whether it's parents to children, teachers to students, men to women, governments to constituents. It doesn't matter what it is. One side wants to dominate the other all the time. And that's why this study of the masculine and feminine is so important right now, because we're ready. We're ready to actually release the separation paradigm and find kindness, find love, find a way to respect each other's journeys, that there is no lesser. You know, like, it's not that women are less than men or men are less than women or anything like that. How do we actually understand the differences, and how does that create magnetism? How do those actually then dance together? And that, it's so fascinating to me, and it's so important to redefine the masculine and feminine, because we have this idea that masculine is all men and it means powerful and strong and angry and controlling. Like, there's a lot of negative, right? And we think that feminine means demure and pretty and peacekeeping, and she does yoga, you know. But this isn't masculine and feminine. These are just gender stereotypes, right? That's just a product of the patriarchy. It has nothing to do with connection. It's just, you know, it's an easy way to separate genders. But when we actually say, for example, imagine, there's a lot of dynamics of the masculine and feminine. One is, say, structure and chaos. So human nature is chaotic inside all of us. Inside all of us, we all have this actual chaotic nature, which isn't crazy. It's just potential. Anything's possible. It's the chaos of nature. It's the chaos of water. It's the chaos of anything, that it's just unstructured. It's wildness, that we simply live from our inherent self. This is the feminine within each of us. The masculine within each of us that balances that is structure, that says, how do I create a structure so that that chaos is creative, right? That's where all things are created from. That's our imagination. That's our intuition. That's all those things. So the masculine structure then creates a structure for us to be chaotic. Like parents, children are naturally chaotic, right? They're naturally growing. How do parents create a structure for them to grow? Not control them, not cage them, but to actually support that. And yeah.
That's powerful. That's such a beautiful explanation, like none I've heard before. So there's a couple of things that come up. I want to dive deeper here, because it's so, so important, as you mentioned. And of course, as I'm on a personal transformation journey, and many people are, they're going on their own journeys. One thing that you realize early on in a transformation journey, at least from my point of view, is that you have to go inwards, deal with that first, and then your outer world experience will change as well. Like the people around you, the experiences, the environment. And when you talked about the masculine and the feminine, I love the juxtaposition, because you have the external stuff, I guess, like government and constituents and men and women and whatnot, but then it actually starts with you within. So you can't fix the outside until you fix the within, if my understanding is correct.
Totally. Well, for example, this with this structure chaos example, and that's just one. There's giving and receiving and talking and listening. There's all the ways that two beings interact, basically. This has a masculine and feminine aspect, because we're just in duality. But if this structure and chaos, for example, when you have a romantic relationship, like when you actually have a relationship that's dynamic and you want to build, one person will desire to polarize to the masculine, and that will strengthen them, and one will desire to polarize to the feminine. So, for example, I love being in the feminine in relationship. In my life, I'm perfectly balanced. Like, this isn't an everywhere. This is just an intimacy, right? So what that means is in my intimate relationship, in sex or whatever, I get to explore my wildness. I get to explore my inner chaos, my inner unknown, right? Well, let's say my partner is not balanced inside of himself, right? What if he's not connected to his inner feminine? Anytime I go close to chaos or close to wild or close to kind of un, unhinged or whatever you want to call it, what is he going to do? He's going to start to control it. Because that's what he's doing to himself. He doesn't allow his own chaos. He doesn't allow his own unknown to live. His masculine inside is pushing it down, just like we've learned externally. So if he's uncomfortable with his own feminine, if he's not perfectly balanced, that's the limit on our relationship. That's as big as we can get. In the same way, what if I have a dysfunctional masculine? Or maybe I have no masculine at all, and I'm just lost in space. Well, then all of a sudden, if I meet someone with a strong masculine, a really healthy masculine, I'm going to push it away and not understand it. And so that, again, is going to cause a disconnect. But when I am fully, when I have full faith in my masculine, that my masculine will always stand up for me, my masculine will always give me what I need. And I mean, just internally in my own life, when I know that when I am wild and I have a great idea and I want to manifest something new, my masculine will come through and create the plan. Well, then all of a sudden I meet somebody and we look at each other and we go, hey, do you want to play? You want to polarize? I am more than happy to hand my masculine over to them. They hand their feminine to me and I have full faith in them. And it allows this beautiful, bigger dance to happen between us. But it's all limited based on our own dynamic inside.
Yeah, wow, that's beautiful, Katrina. It paints a pretty visual picture as to how this would show up. And I can look at my life and I can attest, I'm probably like the example you gave, right? Unbalanced because I don't know any better yet. And the question that comes next to me is like, how does one begin to even balance within first?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because say, for example, like even to even know it, it's like in some yogic paths, you actually have to do kriyas, you have to do meditation, you have to do things to figure it out. But there's other paths where all you need is awareness. And the awareness alone is so powerful. All of a sudden, it's like your eyes open and you see it. You see it everywhere, right? You just are... Like, let's say, for example, even if you're in a relationship, and you don't have to be in a relationship, but sometimes those triggers that come up and the other person does something and you think, why does it bother me so much that they've done this? And you just sort of start going back in time and you're like, is it a controlling figure in my past? Is it my own fears of the unknown? Like, for example, I'm reading Alan Watts' book right now called The Wisdom of Insecurity. And it really speaks to this control we've had in the world that we put inside of ourselves to feel secure. Yes. We're very afraid of the feminine. We're very afraid of that. We're afraid of nature. We know you have to oppress nature. You have to oppress the intuition. You have to oppress your feelings. You have to oppress that. So very often in all cases, we all have to connect with the feminine.
Hey, it's Constantine here. And I want to take a brief moment to truly thank you for being a part of this incredible journey of transformation. You are the reason we are creating this content. I see you and I appreciate you. Your support truly means the world to me. I want to ask you for a small favor. I'd love for you to join our mission by hitting like, subscribe, or leaving a thoughtful comment or review. Your engagement helps others discover these insights, and together we can continue to unlock the power of authenticity and personal transformation. Thank you for being a part of this movement. Now, back to the episode.
We have to believe that the feminine has something in her. So, for example, in a patriarchy, and this is for everybody, all genders, the masculine energy is all that actually matters. The feminine is empty or useless or dangerous, right? It's like the teaching model that teachers teach students because students are empty. They are tabula rasa. They are empty. But what if they're not? What if each one of us is really interesting and juicy and multidimensional and full of amazing potential? How do you teach that? Right? How does the masculine meet that? Well, that's very different. Now imagine inside of each of us, we are all multidimensional, interesting, juicy individuals. If that's the first thing we do, then all of a sudden, an emotion rises, the feminine, the emotion rises, and we honor it. We don't push it away. We don't think it's weak because everything feminine is weak. We don't push it away. We look at it and say, well, that's important. I'm uncomfortable with it, but it's really important. And that's the beginning. That this, there's wisdom in here. There's wisdom in our responses. There's wisdom in our intuition. There's wisdom in our wildness and our imagination. And then we develop a strong masculine. And I talk about this a lot. Like this is my latest book, The Divine Union of the Masculine and Feminine. And we also have to strengthen our masculine in a healthy way. Because sometimes we're quite afraid. Like, for example, one balance is the inspiration and manifestation. Just within, not with other people. So we receive, because anything we receive is feminine. It's the empty bowl kind of idea. We receive inspiration, but we have, in order for that inspiration to be of any value or bring happiness to our lives, we have to manifest it. That's the masculine. A lot of us are terrified to manifest, right? We're afraid of judgment. We're afraid of failing. We're afraid of not knowing why we're doing it. We need to have a reason. But what if we don't? Like, what if we just live? What if we have inspiration and we do stuff? And then we do have inspiration and we do stuff. Now, all of a sudden, it's always moving. It's always feeding each other, right? When I first wrote this book, a woman approached me and asked me if she could paint the cover, which was quite a journey to work with an artist this way. And I asked her, I said, is it possible for you to draw or to paint a yin-yang symbol that is three-dimensional and in motion, that the masculine and feminine are always dancing, they're always moving in and out of each other? And this is what she painted, was this beautiful moving. And that's how I see it, is we're always, we heal the feminine, and then we heal the masculine, and then we heal the feminine, and then we heal, and we just keep sort of growing our own being that way.
Yeah, that's powerful. And as you're talking about the inspiration and manifestation, I look at someone like myself that I know for a fact I've been a lot more in my masculine energy, in the control, in all the things that you mentioned, anger, aggression. And I've been doing quite a bit of work on that with various people in my life and mentors. And as I uncover those patterns, I can uncover more of my feminine. So let's call it the intuition aspect, one of it, right? And what I'm essentially blocked right now in a way, not blocked, but I'm uncovering it, is more like trusting the intuition so it can even manifest. Because I realize for some of us, I can manifest if I don't allow the intuition to come in or to listen to it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how have you seen that? Because, you know, you mentioned, oh, you get the intuition, but we're afraid to manifest. I feel like for a lot of us, it's even like we don't even get the intuition because we're blocking that entire aspect of the feminine.
Well, one of the most beautiful things about the feminine is it's unknown. And there's something that also comes with this journey that we're all on, is that it's sort of like we've been taught that we can know everything. It's almost like in school, as long as I could know 100%, I got an A, I know everything about geography now, right? The reality is there's an infinite amount of information out there. The more you know, the deeper you go, you know, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? There's almost a spiritual maturity that happens, that we start to realize that, wow, all I have to do, if I want to know more, I just go deeper and the world becomes a bit more infinite. And it's the same with manifesting and trusting intuition. When we suddenly imagine anything is possible. But when I say anything is possible, I don't mean anything's possible that I've already thought of. Not anything that I've ever seen. I mean way beyond anything I could ever conceptualize is possible. Yes, well, then all of a sudden, if I get a weird idea and you kind of sit with it, you're like, really? Like that? I have no idea how that would ever turn out. But then you do it. Like that's, I swear that is the real adrenaline of life, right? That's the kick, because then that's the leap of faith. That's the thing you're like, I have no idea. I'm going to do it anyway. And then later people say to you, like people say this to me all the time. They'll say, wow, you're such a great manifester. And I'm not bragging, because it all started back in 1999, which is part of what we're going to talk about. Yeah. I was sick. I had breast lumps. I was 29 years old. My mom had just died of breast cancer. And I went through my first big healing crisis. And a teacher appeared in my life and taught me how to listen to intuition, like how to get out of, like, I have a math degree, right? So I tend to be pretty heady, right? And for me to shut this off and listen to intuition, to listen to divine guidance, however you understand that, was a massive leap. Like it was massive. And I had to suddenly imagine that I actually didn't know everything. That there was actually bigger things out there. It's sort of like that, was that Shakespeare? There is more in the world, Horatio, than your philosophies can ever imagine, or something like that. And I did that. And because, I mean, it's when you're afraid of dying, you'll do almost anything, right? And so I started listening, and then I started doing things I didn't understand and listening and doing. And a miracle started happening in my life. My kids were very small then. And even they, like, as time would go on, they'd be like, well, that's what happens in mom's life. She just thinks it. And then suddenly it happens. It just, and someone drives in the lane and they just, like, crazy stuff. I used to own a train station. I bought a train station once to as a wellness center, and I renovated it. And someone walked in one day and they said, Katrina, do you know how to juggle? Do you ever teach kids how to juggle? I said, no. And so about a week later, I was teaching meditation at a high school drama festival. And I'm standing there waiting for my check at the table, and a clown walks up to me. Like, I swear, a clown walks up, and I looked at her. I said, do you know how to juggle? And she said, yeah, I'm on mat leave. What do you want? I said, do you want to teach kids to juggle at my train station? She said, I totally want to. Like, you know, that is what gives you faith in intuition. Because how could I have ever manifested a clown? Like,
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful example. And it's funny, you mentioned, I didn't notice that you had a math degree. I have a math degree, so I'm always in my head too. And that's been my challenge, right? It's like, how do I get out of here? And I'm making progress. And the more I make progress, the more I'm like, huh. So I have a gut feeling, I have an intuition, whatever people call it, right? Coming up, it's like, wow, the more I listen to it, the better things are, for a lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. So it's actually pretty powerful.
Well, and it's even interesting you don't have to have a math degree. Our whole world it's almost like the people who designed the education system were like us, kind of eggheads, right? Like we think that we can know all the things, right? And I'm not calling you an egghead. I'm an egghead. But it's like, so what that did though, is it formed an idea in everyone's mind that you can know all the things, and that then everything that's in your brain, you can trust, and that's how you make the best decisions. But it isn't true, because it doesn't actually consider the whole being, and it doesn't consider, I don't know, all the things we can't understand.
Yes.
Once you get away from the brain, like, and once you understand that the brain is amazing, actually, I'm going to back up and say, this is also the masculine feminine. Because the brain is the masculine intellect. And if you imagine the feminine feeling intuition space, because of the world we've lived in, we were taught again that the intellect must suppress the emotions. It must suppress the feelings, right? It's always about this domination, as opposed to flipping it, because the truth of the masculine feminine energies in all the dynamics is that the masculine is strengthened by serving the feminine. So if you imagine in the intellect and the feelings, you know, it doesn't take a lot of energy just to suppress it. Don't be angry. Don't be sad. That's a dumb idea. What are you thinking? Come off it. You can't, you know, that's easy. That's really easy. You don't have to grow to do that. But if you actually imagine the feminine, literally like Mother Earth with oceans and volcanoes and biological things that we don't even begin to understand. And my masculine is going to meet that. My masculine is going to create a plan to meet that. I have to get bigger. right? The masculine has to rise to meet that. That's an entirely different journey. That's where everything differs. So now all of a sudden, if my brain is simply there to manifest my dreams, it's not there to create my dreams. It's not there to control my dreams. It's there to say, so what do you want to do now? I am here. I've got the brain. I've got the power. I got the computer. Tell me what to do. And my heart says, you know, I got an idea. And the brain rises to the challenge. Whole other dynamic.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I get emotional just as you explain that, because it's such a vivid picture in my mind.
Yeah.
And in my mind's eye, I guess, right? It's beautiful, beautiful. So that's one way we start, right? And I mean, it's a game of balance by the sounds of it, which makes so much sense, because everything in life is a game of balance, and we have the law of balance in the universe, so we know that. So how do you say to someone that hasn't started this journey yet? I'm sure there's many in the audience like that. What's an easy way to start? Of course, there's your book. There's that, but what's something they can do in their life to start? And you talked about awareness, which is huge all the time.
You know, I find it always starts with whatever is really bothering us. You know, we normally go on a spiritual journey because we feel we're either in pain and we now know that what we have been doing isn't working, mm-hmm. or we know there's something more. Like we just know there's something more, but there's normally an area in our life that is alive, right? Like, and it's funny. So for me, for example, I discovered Tantra through relationship. I was married. I was in my 10th year of marriage, and it was a good marriage. He was a good man, but I knew there was more. I was kind of dying inside. Like I just knew that something more was possible. And that's where I actually began my journey studying Tantra. And it was actually, I knew that there was more in sexual intimacy. I knew there was more in that day-to-day love that we feel, more than just being friends or paying bills together, raising kids. And so that was a very poignant thing that I wanted to understand. And so then all of a sudden, I dove into Tantra as it applied to relationships, as it applied to love, as it applied to connection. We might be healing from trauma from our childhood. Like the reality is maybe we've isolated ourselves because we're quite afraid of people, mm-hmm. right? Well, then that's where we start. Like we start wherever it is that it's most alive. And because I really believe that a spiritual path should not be philosophical. Like I'm a huge philosophy person, but it has to be real. It has to actually apply to your life. Like I often say that I teach grounded spirituality, because if it doesn't actually help you on the dark days, it's probably not even real. It's probably just a pile of words. And so for me, for example, like, I mean, in the land of my books, you know, this book here, this is called What If You Could Skip the Cancer? This is a book. This is my journey from my head to my heart. For me, the vehicle was cancer. The vehicle was healing. The vehicle was undoing generations of patterns in my family and of people pleasing and taking care of other people. You know, how can I listen to me and actually start walking my path and still love everybody? Like I don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but how do I do that? And that's that book. And then this book, Tantric Intimacy, this book I wrote years ago because I was teaching Tantra. And people kept asking me, well, what's a book that we should start with? And so this is why I wrote this book. And I wrote this book kind of as the book that I wish I had read when I was 20. Mm. Right? At a very foundational level, what is love? What is intimacy? What's really possible in life? Right? And if this masculine feminine thing is interesting, because it is interesting, when we say find ourselves being misunderstood in relationships. Maybe people think we're really controlling, or maybe people, we find ourselves way too passive and we don't know how to step up and share our truth and do all that. Then maybe, you know, this one, the divine union of the masculine feminine, to just redefine it, to redefine the masculine feminine inside of us so that we can actually start to have this gentle dance inside. Then we go out into the world and we look at our relationships and we say, oh, I understand. And now I understand where I was being too forceful, or I was being controlling, or I was giving with strings attached, or I was, or maybe I'm being manipulated by people who are giving with strings attached. Do you know what I mean? Like it, but there's always a point that drives us crazy. I'd say dive in there.
I love that, because that's exactly what I started. And you gave the examples of why people, or the reasons why people start on a spiritual path, and you give the two. And I saw myself in both of them. That's really why I went on my path many years ago now. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. Absolutely. And you mentioned your journey started with your cancer battle, and that kind of gave you the push to go through. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your marriage. And I wonder, when you realized, wait a second, something is missing, did you immediately go internally and say, wait a second, there's something missing within me first? Or did you start like most people, like I started, for example, when I realized something was wrong, I actually looked at everyone else to blame as opposed to me, which I find something fairly common in the world today.
For me, it was different because, so I come from a long line of women who die of breast cancer, right? Like all the women in my family have passed. So what we do, and I mean, this is just our line and, you know, it's not a good thing, but we take everything personally. So we assume that it's always our fault. We assume that if there's something wrong in the marriage, well, I'm not attractive enough. I shouldn't have said that thing. I should be more supportive. There's something wrong with me. If there's something wrong with my children, I'm a bad mother. I should have done something differently. And that's where we take it all inside, and eventually it eats us alive. Like it kills us, right? But that's just us. Other people might struggle with other things, and they may end up with high blood pressure, or they may end up with prostate cancer, or they may end up with something else. But for me, that was mine. And so I had to actually do the opposite, not necessarily look at other people, but I had to look within and find myself. It's almost like, you know, I remember when I was researching, what if you could skip the cancer? And this was a long time ago, kind of before there was so much self-help out there. And like people like Bernie Siegel and Carl Simonton, who were working with cancer patients back in the day, they would ask women who had breast cancer, and they'd say, what do you love to do? And they never had any idea, because their whole life was about everyone else.
Oh, yes.
Right? And it's a huge problem. And it's interesting too, in the masculine feminine dynamic, this is actually one of the number one things where the masculine feminine was flipped because of this domination paradigm, where the feminine, in this case, the women, actually served the men. They were actually in almost a slave role to the tyrant king, right? So the tyrant king has all the power. The women have no power, but the women must serve the men. And that is a huge thing to undo if we have that dynamic inside of us, to actually say, I don't need to overpower you, but I'm actually a person and I'm equal to you, and my path matters, and I wasn't just put here to serve you in your path. And so for people in my line, that's our journey, is to actually strengthen that. Actually, it's strengthening our own masculine to stand up for ourselves and to say no and to protect and to actually do things. And so it's a little bit of the opposite. But I hear you. A lot of people, they have that opposite, and we all have it for lots of good reasons. And then it is a question of going within.
No, I love that. I love that you went there and you explained, because, you know, maybe from ignorance, maybe from my own experiences, I saw it more as the one way, but you're right. I mean, it's not always black and white. There's so many other ways, and it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I love that. I know we went deep on this topic, but before we move off of it for a minute, is there anything else that comes to mind, or from intuition, that we haven't covered that's important to share with the audience in that regard?
I think for the masculine and feminine, for example, I think the first step for all of us is to even believe that it's possible, right? For a lot of us, we don't even know if we believe that I could actually be at peace inside. that my inner being would actually support me and I could actually walk forward in life happier and bigger and more expansive. And in the same way, even in relationships, we have such a history of separation, of battle, of frustration, that this is normal, that we have to sacrifice self to be with others. And I'm a great believer in no sacrifice relationships. Like, I really believe that that's never the right path. And to actually believe that, no, we're coming into a different consciousness now. We're actually seeking something different. And we are able to go within, even in relationships, and say, you know, let's solve this. It doesn't always have to be one person trying to fix it. Both people can be fixing it. And to really raise the bar in all of our relationships, that it is possible. We don't have to settle. We can have a lot more. But that's almost the beginning, is to believe that it's possible. And then we're like, okay, we put that out to the universe and things change.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Which actually, that's a great way to lead into one question that came up earlier for me is, I know you talk about the importance to redefine love if we are to have a true connection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw the question and I'm like, okay, I can see some of it, but I would love to dive deeper. What do you actually mean?
So my teacher who helped me when I was sick in 1999, he defined love as how human beings connect. Like, that's just the energy of what we do. Unfortunately, we've used the word love in a lot of these very separate connections and in domination situations where we say, I'm only doing this because I love you. And we're doing all these things that are actually pushing everybody away. So they're actually the opposite of love. If we define love as connection, so much of what we call love isn't love. But because we call it love, we're supposed to put up with it. Yes. Right? And that's a huge problem. And so it was interesting when I was writing Tantric Intimacy, I'd been teaching Tantra for a long time and a lot of couples just were struggling to have the experiences they wanted. They couldn't get through the blocks in their marriage. And I realized that, so the whole first section of this book is all redefining love. And so the foundation of love comes from the ancient Greek agape. And agape is basically, they define it as God's love for man, or seeing each other through God's eyes. Whatever, I mean, I know God's a trippy word, but, you know, to actually imagine looking at each other from 50,000 feet, you know, then all of a sudden we see each other simply as beings on a journey. Every one of us. We've all come from different places, different experiences, different families, different traumas, different gifts. And how we look in this moment, how could any of us ever judge that? Like, how could we ever know what someone else is wrestling with? This is agape. When we look at this other human, it could be a complete stranger, and we simply look at them like a friend in the sandbox and we say, I see you. I don't have to understand, but we can play side by side. I can respect your journey. This is agape. It's pure respect for another person's journey. I recognize you as a fellow human. So with that agape comes kindness, that we are naturally kind. And kindness doesn't mean I'm always happy. It just means, how do I treat you? Just because I'm angry, I could say, you know, I'm really frustrated today, not good company, but give me a couple hours and then maybe I'll be feeling better. Or maybe my friend says, you know, do you want to rant for a while? You want to get it out? Like, you want to go for a run? You want to do something? And maybe that helps. So maybe it's like, but I don't have to be mean. I don't have to yell at the other person. Even if I'm mad at the other person, if I love this person, if we're really going to use the word love, that I love this person, why would I hurt them? Right? With words, with my body, with actions, why would I do that? So we have to really be clear. We have to be adults about this. If I'm going to be loving, I'm going to be loving. So this is agape. And this is the foundation of every single relationship we have. Then let's say we meet someone and we become friends. There's something more. well, this is philia. This is brotherly love. This is where you actually can trust each other. You become confidants. That love becomes deeper. That love becomes bigger, and you can have each other's back, and you just always know they're there for you. And then you imagine Eros. And Eros is that special spark that we just don't have with everybody. But now imagine Eros as love, not lust. Like, lust is fine. Animals do it. It's easy. We do it. It's fun. Like, it doesn't matter. But Eros is love encapsulated by philia and agape. So now all of a sudden you are intimate with someone who you completely respect, who you have no walls up with, who you completely trust, and you have sexual, wonderful intimacy with. That's where Tantra is possible. That's where we're able to have these huge, beautiful experiences. But even there, it comes all the way back down, because we have to start with agape. We have to be able to be kind. And this, again, comes within us, right? Am I kind to me? Am I judging me all the time? Am I already telling me that I'm not good enough? Am I, you know, do I have philia within? Do I have my own back? Can I trust me to stand up for me? Right? Like, it's so beautiful. And that's where redefining love is such a big deal.
Oh my God, you sent shiver down my spine. That's so beautiful. I'll have to listen to that a few more times to really see with it, but that was so powerful. And yes, after you explained it the way, I'm like, yeah, of course we have to redefine it. And I look at, let's say, relationships in my life and looking back, right? And I know that I skipped some steps. So agape and philia before love. Mm-hmm. If someone is in a relationship where they think they're at love, but they skipped the first two steps, or at least part of those, is there a chance for salvation there? Meaning, like, you can kind of reset the clock and be like, okay, you know what? I just realized this. Let's take a step back. And of course, like you mentioned, it starts with you, because if you don't do that to yourself, it doesn't really matter what you want outside. It's not going to happen. But I wonder, have you seen that? Or is it pretty much like that relationship ran its course and now I can start afresh because I have better awareness and knowledge and I did my work?
Well, it depends. Honestly, it depends how much damage has been done, right? Like, so when I was writing this book, my daughter has a friend who is a beautiful artist. So I told her about this love thing. And I said to her, I think I need a picture. I don't know what it is, but I need a picture of something. I said, can you draw me something? So she drew me this tree. Mm-hmm. And the roots are agape, and the trunk is philia, and the top is Eros. If you're in a relationship, this is the foundation, is agape. If there has been a lot of unkindness and we keep cutting these little roots, right? Slowly the tree will get sick. It may not end right away, but it will get sick, right? So how do we, let's say we come to a point and we realize, oh my, we've almost killed this tree, right? That's happened. Well, then what do? We start feeding the nutrients. We start trying to make it strong again. And it all comes with this agape. We are kind to each other and we can figure this out. I really do believe, like, we, 50 years ago, we didn't look within. This was not a thing. I don't think it's because it just hadn't popped up in pop culture. I don't even think we were able to do it, right? But today we can. And it does go backwards. Like, when you think of, say, soldiers who go to war, they instantly have philia, right? They it's that brothers in arms thing, right? Well, when they have philia like that, they also have agape, right? You try to, you know, diss one of their friends, you have no idea what they've gone through, right? Agape almost follows on the heels of philia, right? And if you deeply love someone, and you really feel like, you know, this is really something special, then you just ask for guidance. Like, for me, I am very prayerful. I'm not religious, but I'm very prayerful. And this is sort of what came for when I was sick, because my teacher, he said, you know, he said, Katrina, there's three stages of prayer. And I had all kinds of issues with the church. So we had some arguments about this. But he said, the first is ask. The second is listen. And of course, you have to discern which voice you're listening to. And then you act. And to me, this is the number one thing, that if you're in a relationship and you realize, wow, I need to find agape in my life, not just with this person. I need to find it within. I need to find it with my family. I need to find it with the cashier that pissed me off. I need to find it with everybody. Then all we do is we just ask for guidance. And it comes. Like it always comes. It happens before we even know, or an opportunity arises, or even you just have a great idea. Like, you know, let's say you're in a relationship and maybe kindness hasn't been there. And you sit down with your partner and you say, I just had the biggest realization that I need to figure this out. I need to find kindness. And I think you have borne the brunt of this. Like real, genuine, heartfelt, and say, I want to fix this. I want to fix it between us. I want to fix it within me. So if I ever do anything that makes you feel badly, please tell me. Because I want to learn, you know, and then beautiful things happen.
Yes, 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 yes. I love this so much. Beautiful stuff, Katrina. So many things coming up and going through my mind as well at the same time. And once you're in that place where you really find love, you have this love within you. For those around you, the world at large. That's when if I heard you correctly at the beginning, really, it was all about, that's when you live in bliss every day, because how could you not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And bliss isn't, sometimes we have this idea that bliss means that I'm happy with everything going on in the world. Like, and I'm happy with everything going on in my life. It's not, that's not it. Like, bliss is just, in some ways, it's more like contentedness. Like, that we actually are just, like right now, there's a blizzard outside. You know, I'm in Canada and it's blizzarding outside. Well, it's blizzarding outside. Am I blissful because of it? Like, it's a weird word, right? Like, we have this idea that we're always walking around on cloud nine. It's like, no, it's cold out and sometimes you have to do this. But there's this something inside of us that's just happy to be here, kind of no matter what's going on. And even in great sadness, sometimes really difficult things happen. But it's almost like you have this, you know, one of the things about a spiritual path, they often help us develop what they call a witness mind, right? This part of us, we often point to the heart chakra when we talk about it, right? That there's this eternal, quiet self inside that's always watching. So even in grief, even in frustration, even in anger, even in the difficult things that don't feel like bliss, the more we cultivate this eternal self or a connection to that eternal self, the more we allow ourselves to fully dive into that emotion as well without judgment, and we just flow with it. Like, one of my favorite moments of bliss, which is really weird, but when I was about 20, one of my uncles died. And he was very loved. He was a church choir master and a choir master at the school. And he was just this wonderful, beautiful, musical man. And we sat in the church. And at the front of the church was this choir, this mass choir of all of his students and people that had been in his choirs. Like, I don't even know how many, there were 50, 60 people standing up there singing songs he'd written. In like 5-part harmony, all of them sobbing, tears rolling down their faces, singing these songs. I'll never forget that for as long as I live. It was so incredibly sad. And it was pure bliss. Right? Like, we just have to be in it, whatever it is.
Yes. That reminds me a lot of this idea I talk about a lot, which is, in every situation, you can find the beauty. You can find lesson, I guess maybe it's not the right word here, but you can find the positive, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a choice, because you could be in the sadness that you felt in the moment with everyone else, or you can do both. You can be sad because he's no longer here, can no longer bless people with his presence and his gifts, but you can be also appreciative and grateful and happy of all he left behind and all he did in his life, and that you had a chance to meet a person like that.
Totally.
And I feel like I saw it in people in my life and in my own life too. It's so easy to forget the positive side often and wallow in the negative only and not be able to bring yourself back up.
Well, and it's interesting, like in Tantra, for example, there's this dance between our divine selves and our human selves. And that sounds kind of funny, but basically the way they say it is that, imagine again, we talk about this duality, or we talk about that oneness of God, which is within all of us. We're all part of that in some dimension. I don't know how you want to say it, but we're all like that. And so imagine that we actually wanted to come to Earth and actually experience a human existence, right? We wanted to experience this somehow. Well, then we actually have to be limited. We can't be our God selves. We actually have to be our human self, which means we become limited. We have to play in a time-space continuum and pretend that there's a past, present, and a future, and pretend that I'm only here as opposed to everywhere in the universe. I have to pretend that I can only walk this fast, which actually I'm capable of all things because I'm omnipotent and whatever. I can only know so many things. There's a natural limitation of our true self just in being human. It's a good thing. That's what makes life fun. That's what makes life interesting, is that our limitations cause us to go and try to do other cool things, right? So the balance in it, Tantra, is knowing both. Knowing the bliss of oneness and infinity and all that, and knowing the limitations of being human and kind of enjoying that dance. And of course, the limitations of being human means that we lose people. And we have disappointments and we struggle sometimes. But if we can always know inside, which is exactly what you're saying, finding the positive, is that, but there's also a completely different reality. it's all happening at the same time.
Yeah, so I love the dance because, again, it's something I talk about and I feel for myself. It's like that once you realize you can do anything you want, you are this infinite being, you can do everything you want, but you're still playing within, like you said, the limitations of being a human.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still is, it sits with me, it's like, yes, you're playing with those limitations, but those limitations are actually much more forgiving than we were led to believe, or we led ourselves to believe that they are, right? Because we put a box around ourselves that's usually much smaller than this human box that we play within. At least that's how I see it.
Well, I always think of it, I was saying it the other day, I was thinking about how, imagine you were a professional hockey player, right? And so you're just amazing, you know? And your nephew says, would you come and play with my league for a little while, like the 10-year-olds or something? Well, if he's actually going to play, we're going to have to set up some handicaps, right? Well, you can only use your left arm, and you got to tie your right arm behind your back, and you can only skate backwards. You're not allowed to skate forward. So now, okay, that's my limitation. Okay, now I can play, right? And you enjoy playing inside the limitations. You know, you still know you're a pro hockey player and that can do all kinds of other things, right? But in this case, we're just going to have fun.
Yeah, beautiful analogy. That's amazing. And to be honest, that was a big switch for me when I finally realized the infinite potential and the infinite potential of my own being. That was so freeing in itself, because then it gave me permission to be like, yeah, these dreams I'm having, these visions, these intuition, let's call it, that anything that's coming through, I mean, anything is possible then. I just have to believe in it myself. And like you said, you know, you have the intuition, the inspiration come in, and then you manifest it without any blockages anymore, because that's what was keeping us small before.
Well, and I think it's really fun in life too, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Michelangelo's David. When I first saw that, and you know, you walk down the hallway of all of the other statues, and then you walk into that atrium and you look up and you see the David, and your whole being just disappears. Like you just, like you can't even breathe. You're just like, what is this? And it's like he brought God down. Like he brought the divine and he carved it out of marble. And not that David looks like God. It's just, it was so inspired. It was so beyond what you could fathom, right? And it makes life really fun. Like it's really, I mean, we're not all carving the David, but it feels like that sometimes because you're kind of on this beautiful exploration and it's really fun to play in that world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So fun once you realize, and you mentioned this before, and I talk about this a lot, awareness is so big. I always say awareness is half the battle. And the more I continue on this journey, the more I realize it's actually so, so true. Because without being aware of something, you cannot change it. You cannot become who you truly are. You cannot be in your power. You cannot do any of those things. So it's beautiful to to see that more and more every day, essentially.
Yeah. And I think when once we have the awareness, it starts to infiltrate all of our beliefs. You know, you have this new awareness and you find yourself thinking about it as it's actually reprogramming our mind. Like we don't have to do the work. It naturally reprograms us. And all of a sudden we have an interaction with someone and we say something different or things don't happen. And it's just all done its magic inside of us. Yeah, so, I totally agree.
100%. We cover so many beautiful topics and there's so many more things I want to ask you about, but maybe we'll leave that for a part two. It's been so beautiful so far. I'm curious, before I let you go, is there anything else that comes for you that you feel it's important to share with your audience? Anything and anything goes.
Yeah, I know for me, the number one thing that I remind myself of these days is just whatever it is, just be light about it. You know, it's been a tough run, you know, and sometimes we forget that we didn't all come out of a utopia. And so we really are unpacking some hard things. So we really need to give ourselves a break sometimes and just, you know.
Breath, yeah. Beautiful. I love that. Love that so much, Katrina. I want to thank you so much for your time. Again, like, there's so many other things I want to ask you, but we'll leave it there. We'll have all your details in the show notes as well and in the introduction so people can find you and find your books and anything else. But yeah, that's it. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of personal transformation. Your presence and engagement are at the heart of what we do, and I sincerely appreciate you, your time, and thirst for knowledge, inspiration, and empowerment. Please consider showing your support by hitting like, subscribe, leaving a comment, or writing a review. Your engagement not only fuels our mission, but also helps others discover these insights. For more daily guidance on personal transformation across the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical realms, be sure to visit our website at unleashthyself.com. You can also find us on Instagram at unleashthyselftoday, TikTok and YouTube at unleashthyself, and there we post daily content designed to inspire and empower you on your journey. If you have any specific thoughts, questions, or feedback, I truly value your input. I would love to hear from you. Together, we're building a community united in authenticity and purpose. Once again, thank you for being a part of this movement. Until next time, continue to embrace your true self and live a life on purpose, with purpose. See you in the next episode.